On Sunday evening, April the 14th, the night of the gala dinner, the band was playing, the millionaires were drinking at the bar, the Titanic was aglow with glittering lights. Then three rings on the bell gave the alarm from the crow's nest and a shout down the telephone, ice ahead. The time was 11:40.
There was a very slight bump, just a little jar, nothing at all. I went in my room, there was a second light jar, nothing of consequence. But you knew something had happened, and one man said, "Look at that, that's an iceberg, and it's a whopper. Because you know, there's 1/8 above the water, and 7/8 below. And this blooming thing's ahead, all the way over the top of the ship." Thought nothing of it. We picked up the bits of ice, and most of us played snowballs.
It's the Reader's Notebook for Monday, January 27th, 2020. Today is the birthday of Captain Edward John Smith, born in 1850 at Hanley in Staffordshire, England. Smith was in command of what was arguably the most famous ship in modern history, RMS Titanic, the Royal Mail steamer that struck an iceberg and sank in the North Atlantic on its maiden voyage in 1912 with a loss of more than 1,500 lives. Smith went to work for the White Star Line in 1880. By 1885, he was the first officer of the Republic, one of its major passenger vessels. 8 years later, Smith took his first command aboard the Baltic and went on to serve as captain of several other White Star ships. He was held in high esteem by the company and was well regarded among travelers on the route between the United States and Europe. In 1912, he became captain of the Titanic, which left Southampton on April 10th. In all, there were more than 2,200 people aboard as it made its way across the North Atlantic. The first few days passed without incident. On the morning of April 14th, however, the Titanic received a warning about ice in its path from the Caronia. Smith reportedly posted the message on the bridge. Another wire about dangerous ice came from the Baltic in the early afternoon. Smith showed this message to Joseph Bruce Ismay, chairman of the White Star Line, and Ismay held on to it until later that evening. Numerous other ice warnings were received from ships in the general area, but swamped with telegraphic messages for passengers, Titanic's operators put them aside. And apparently unaware of this, Smith turned in for the night. Around 11:40 p.m., a crew member spotted an iceberg in the ship's path, but the crew was unable to move the ship away in time. Titanic's hull was breached, allowing seawater to rush into the ship's forward holds. Smith was awakened and soon learned that the vessel was definitely on its way down. Unprepared for such an event, Titanic did not have enough lifeboats aboard to carry all the passengers to safety. Smith tried to manage the situation as best he could, helping load what boats there were and managing distress calls. Learning that the nearest ship, Carpathia, was more than 2 hours away, too late to effect a rescue, Smith was last seen headed for the bridge. After 2 a.m. the next morning, Titanic slipped beneath the dark, cold waters of the North Atlantic, taking its captain with it. Several stories emerged about just how his life ended. There were reports that he shot himself on the bridge. Another had him in the water, swimming with an infant in tow and putting the child on a lifeboat before disappearing beneath the water. It is commonly held, however, that Smith simply followed the marine tradition of remaining aboard his vessel until the very end. There were several investigations into the Titanic disaster, both in the United States and England. With all of the warnings, many wondered why Smith chose not to slow down or turn south in response to the threat of icebergs. In the end, though, he was not held to be responsible for the catastrophe. I'm J.D. Reader, and this is the Reader's Notebook for January 27th, 2020. Write it on your heart that every day is the best day of the year.